Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Soul Diving Sunday Show featuring transformational life coach Shelly Wizen and your hosts, Lisa and Nancy. Hey, everybody, it is the month of May, and you know that it means that it's Mother's Day coming up and Mothering Sunday if you're in England and that area, the United Kingdom. So that's what we're going to talk about. But last year, Shelly talked about mother-daughter relationships, and she had her friend Lisa on the show and Nancy and I on the show. But today she's talking about mothering ourselves. And this is not just about for Mother's Day. This is kind of a looking at self-care of being our own mother. Like, we have to mother ourselves, even if we're a male, right? Like, this isn't just for women.
Absolutely.
Well, first, happy Mother's Day to you, Shelly.
Thank you. And you, oh, well, all your doggy animals are.
Yeah, I think mothers of animals
are in all sizes and shapes and have different forms and mother different things. So definitely.
And I have to mother Nancy on Mother's Day because it's also her birthday. And this year it's one of those when it falls on her birthday.
Right. Wow. Wow.
So that's pretty cool. So I will be taking the entire day off to honor thy mother.
Oh, that's great.
Champagne brunch, the whole thing, you know, and time out. We'll have to do something in nature. But that's the thing, is taking time out. Isn't this that Mother's Day is like giving moms a break? The first thing we all think about is making breakfast for the moms, because who's up at 5 a.m. doing it? So tell us a little bit about why this is all important.
Well, first of all, you know, especially for women, and I'm not saying men don't have that either, but especially women, we're like born with this, I call it diffused awareness. That's a scientific fact. So men have this foveal vision, women have diffused awareness, which means they're aware of everything around them. Mm. And I believe that because we have that sense, that we tend to take care for, and think about almost everything around us, including things that need to be taken care of. So we're very busy taking care of other people. We're born to carry a baby. We're born to be able to give birth from our body. And when we give birth from our body, we naturally take care of what we've given birth to. Mm. And so sometimes we're so busy giving that we forget, and this is what I talk about in that little article, is we forget the one person that we really truly want to take care of, and that is ourselves. Mm. And so sometimes we judge ourselves, we're harsh on ourselves, and maybe that's because of the kind of mother that we have. So we're not as kind to ourselves as we are to other people and as caring for other people. So,
I want to say, everyone, the article that Shelly's referring to is linked in the show notes. And you can also go to blendradioandtv.com and just type in mother yourself. Go mother yourself.
Go mother yourself. That's good.
You know what? I think that would be a good bumper sticker.
That actually is. Go mother yourself. That's good.
Yeah. Go mother yourself. Well, no, because I think you're, you know, as women, we tend to do a lot, even if it's in a business, right? Yeah. So as a transformation coach, how many times do you see people come and call Shelly going, you know, I don't know where I'm at anymore? Is it a lot of times, do we use our well to the point of burnout, that we kind of lose our life? And that's part of being, you know, transformation coach, is to like, hey, where are you now? And I see a lot of women going through transformation just because of, oh, my kids have gone off to college and now got jobs and starting families. I've got the empty nest thing and now I can go back to my career. Or, hey, did I find during all this time that I was mothering and maybe had a side business that now it's time to do a different business? But whatever it is for a woman, and I'm going to go there with the women on this too right now. If we don't nurture ourselves like we nurture everybody else and take care of them to all kinds of crazy hours, we're not going to be that good at it if we don't, right?
Like, right. Well, you talked about the well, and the well, when we give and we give and we give and we give, we sap ourselves dry. I mean, I know even in the slightest things, if I put on an event for 250 people or 300 people or whatever, and I mean, I'm a stickler for details and I want everything to look just beautiful and this and that and this. And, you know, I'll work for days, sometimes weeks and months in order to pull off that kind of event, right? To make it successful. And so I'm giving and giving and giving, but I'm having a good time. I'm not saying I'm not, right?
Right. When
It's
does Shelley not have a good time?
right. But it's, you know, it can be tiring. I'm not saying it's not. And by the time that event is over, the following day, I feel like a prune. I feel like I used to be a raisin, and today I'm a prune because all the juice got sucked up. And sometimes that happens to us in our daily life when we're giving and giving and doing and doing and doing for everybody else, but we don't carve out enough time for our own self
Oh.
to actually enjoy it.
Now, when you're talking about an event, that's like a project. But if it's a consistency,
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
a
Multiply
consistency thing.
that, you know,
Yeah.
because
As a
those
con
you have daily things that you need to take care of all the time, all the time. And daily people and this one and that one and coordinating and navigating and juggling and, you know, all kinds of things every single
And then we don't eat the right food. Then we drink the extra glass or two of wine that Dr. Jackie says we're not supposed to have.
That's so funny.
And we don't take our walks. We don't take that me time. So
Yeah.
then we're not feeling as healthy.
Right. And then we don't have the same amount of energy either. Energy is depleted, and it's like spiritual dehydration. And that's a
So
book, and that just came right out of my mouth.
dehydration sucks.
Yeah. And so spiritually, when we're spiritually dehydrated, okay, I'm going to keep that analogy. I like it, is that we feel dried up. And what happens to something that gets dried up? It gets hard and crusty sometimes. And so we need to keep it moist so that we can keep ourselves pliable and you know flexible and interested and all those things that come with wonder in the world. Keep our wonder alive. And then
Yeah, don't be a prune. Go mother yourself.
there you There's a that's it. Don't be
I'm
a prune.
liking this.
Go mother yourself.
Yeah, because raisins taste better than prunes. I'm just saying. And you
Yeah.
like yummy,
I like prunes,
delicious.
actually. I like
I do
prunes.
too, but a little. I like a date. Like, well, we all like a nice hot date, but
Yes,
you know what I
prunes.
mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, dates, like medjool dates. Ooh. Okay,
Right.
let's not get into the food, but that is actually part of it. Nutrition, is that something to look at? Like, actually, all of those little things that we kind of just push to the side, that's are those symbols of like, that's a sign, that's your flag, your own red flag.
Yeah.
We have to know our own red flags of now. You know, if you keep pulling that red flag out, you're on a path that isn't healthy for
Yeah.
you or for others.
Yeah. And also to recognize that inside of us, because we have that capacity to nurture, it's just born in us. We were the gatherers. And why did we gather? Because we nurtured our families by gathering the berries and everything else. The fathers, the men, they nurtured also the families, but their vision was foveal. So their whole intention was get the meat for the winter. So they had
Yeah.
to stay in one place and wait for that buffalo to come by and hit that buffalo exactly just so. Otherwise, they would come home with nothing and their families would, you know, poverty. So even a man has a mother inside of him. We're
True.
all born from a mother. All of us are born from, there is not one
And
person.
Mother Nature, by the way, we're all connected.
Exactly. So there you go. It's mother's nature. And so a man, a boy, a child, a baby, they have the mother in them because they came from them. So we all have the ability to nurture and care for each other and ourselves. We just sometimes don't do it enough for ourselves. We do it more for other people. For some reason, we put ourselves low on the totem pole.
What about you talk in your article about emotional balance? Because there's the high, the lows, and if you are at that point, I know that. I mean, I've, you know, we've all, I don't know any woman who has not had the highs and the lows go round and round. And especially depending on what you're going through in the stage of life. Oh, I didn't bring that up. You
Yeah.
know, I said it, but to balance that out, and it's fun to feel pure joy, excitement, right? But you can't stay on the, it's like, you know, we can't smile 100% all the time. We always talk about that. So it's the same thing. So you have to have some balance, but we do want to giggle more than we cry.
Sometimes, interestingly enough, I have found that sometimes there is a benefit from being sad. And so people go to being sad. We go, I've gone there to be, feel sad. And there's something in the pain that, interestingly enough, allows us to feel like we're alive. Otherwise, sometimes we go on numb. And when we're on in pain, emotional pain, I'm talking about, we almost feel like I can feel something. And sometimes, in order to feel something, we don't allow joy in readily because we devalue the value of joy. And we devalue the value of play. And we devalue the value of fun. And so, what happens is we value hard work, we value stressful situations because then we can talk about them and have a reason why we don't feel very good about ourselves or about the world. So there is a benefit of that. When we're sad, feel sad. I think it's good to pretend we feel something when we don't, right? To allow ourselves to have those feelings. Just don't dwell on them as long.
Right. Isn't it part of caring, though? If you're sad about something, you're either hurt or because you cared. The end
Right.
of sad is care.
Yes. And when we lose somebody, if somebody passes away that we love, it mean and we feel grief, it means that we love them. It's a barometer. When we feel sad or grieving for somebody, it means that we also, on the flip side, we have the capability of loving that person so much. So
Ooh, I'm glad you brought this up because over Mother's Day, Father's Day, all these holidays, right?
yeah.
For some, it is not a time to be excited, you know, to be happy. You know, we've talked about, you know, oh, there's all these parental issues that a lot of us deal with in different things, right? And so for some of us, it's like, I don't care about Father's Day, and maybe you don't care about Mother's Day, but you've got to take care of it for yourself, right? And women, the same thing, have to also, I think, look at being for Father's Day, that you've also been a dad too in many circumstances. So it's kind of this duality, right, that we're talking about. But there's grief attached to these celebrations because maybe you've lost a mom that was close to you, or someone, a mom figure in your life. Could have been an aunt or a really good friend, a grandmother, that was like a mom to you, that nurtured you, so you miss them. So I think we all have those token people in our lives, and if they're not there, again, you're feeling for them, and it's and feel it. I mean, and go through the good memories too.
Yeah. Just be, I think the mothering yourself part, what does that really mean? It means be gentle, kind to yourself, just like you would a child. You know, any little child that's growing, I mean, you know, if we're at all semi-conscious, you know, we pretty much like being around a baby or a little new life person, new life human, doesn't, you know, with wonder in front of their eyes and why this and why that. And if we can stay with the wonder, even mothering ourselves can stay with the wonder of the curious little girl or little boy inside, to stay with that and encourage it. Oh, what do you wonder about? You know, you wonder about this. Let's explore it. Why don't we explore that? You know, to get encouragement. I think mothering to me, because I didn't have that growing up. I did not have that kind of mother. I did not have that. But I was born with it. Was born with it. And I noticed it and I saw it and I saw, God bless my mom, so many ways I did not want to be.
Yeah, it's a lesson.
And a huge lesson. And I think sometimes it's important to find out what we don't want equally as much as what we do want. Choose what we do want over what we don't want and want to call into our life, because I want to be a certain human being. I want to be the person who's kind and thoughtful. And when I'm not as thoughtful, I get down on myself. I have to say, if I miss somebody's birthday or I miss somebody's surgery, I miss my own sister's surgery. I mean, I met the day after, I thought it was around that area, but for some reason I didn't write it down. And I heard her, I mean, her feelings were hurt because I didn't call her before her surgery to encourage her and let her be okay. So it kind of created a little rift there. Now, I don't like when I'm thoughtless. I don't like that. I do, get a little hard on myself because of it. But again, I need to learn also and still continue to learn to be a little more gentle on myself, that I'm human, I'm not perfect. I still bring love, I still bring all of that into the equation. And thoughtlessness sometimes does happen. But because most of the time, I mean, I like to be thoughtful. I like to do little things for people. I like,
Yeah. Well,
so
you're sweet. You're awesome to work with and everything. And we all have our moments because, like, you always remind us we're human. Nancy said that to me the other day. I went, oh, you listen to a Shelley. Because she was like, no, I'm only human. Like, how far? I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's true. We cannot be perfect. And it's interesting because there's that weird choice that we go where we will either want to kill ourselves over, like literally just, hammer ourselves down when we haven't been perfect at something, right? Or completely, I don't want to know. And I think a good mother goes, let's acknowledge the good or the bad, and now deal with it. And what steps are we going to take to get to wherever you were trying to go to? Like, so you had a misstep. Now, what are we going to do to rectify? And I got in trouble in school, which was a little frequent. I would have to sit and write apology letters. It didn't matter what the school said. Nancy was like, you will personally go and deliver the letter and read the letter for what you've done or whatever. So you're going to take acknowledgement over that. But equally, if you've done really well, you get to acknowledge that too, though, both sides, right? So because we can be thoughtless, right? All of us have, and we all do. It's human, but then we have to acknowledge it, but not kill ourselves over it.
And not judge. See, that's an
Oh.
important factor because, if you want to have a successful, shitty relationship with yourself or anybody else, then judge the hell out of everything. But if we really do want to be gentle, more gentle on ourselves and each other, we don't have to sit in the judging seat. There's nobody telling us that we have to judge something or criticize ourselves if we don't do as good of a job as we'd like to have done. Or that we could do, even that. If I don't pay attention to something I'm doing in business and I'm following a program, but I'm not always on it the way I want to be on it, I have a tendency of being hard on myself about that. And so I remember, just it's okay. It's okay. It's all
You
right.
got your time. I mean, you have to think about what are we here on the earth for? To be the most, prominent individual? Do we have to all create Amazon or something? We don't all, we all have our role. And if you are doing that, you've got to give yourself breathability. You talk in your article about setting boundaries, and I think that's where breathability comes in, because a lot of times the mistakes we made are because we are over pushing.
Boundaries are very important because when we don't have a boundary, it's like babies at the beginning when they are born, they don't know where they begin and where somebody else, where they leave off and somebody else begins. There's this thing until they start actually being aware that they're separate from the mother. They think they're just part of the mother because they've been part of the mother for, nine or so months or whatever. So setting boundaries is a very important part. A baby is in a womb. A womb has its own internal boundary. It touches the baby in every part of its body as it's, bent over in that beautiful baby position, and it has a boundary. It doesn't go into the uterus. It doesn't melt into the, I mean, it stays in its own
Our
sac.
little embryo, yeah, our little, that's, yeah.
So in life, when we, I think when we impose, that's a good word, when we impose ourselves and our beliefs onto somebody else, it's like the can opener that I have. Not, you can't pry someone's heart open if they don't want it open.
Right.
So setting boundaries of, well, how far do I, where is my ending and where is your beginning, and where am I not willing to compromise my true values? Are we with people sometimes? I mean, sometimes we need to be with people who are very much like the parents that hurt us so we could heal it. Heal it. I know I did. I finally, my third marriage, God bless all three of them, right? They each taught me something different. But after the third, I realized that love and abuse were not synonymous, and that you say, I love you, and then be abusive. It's not, it doesn't go together. That's not love. And so I vowed after that that I would, A, never pry someone's heart open. That's the can opener. I have it always by my desk. And if they don't want it open, because thinking that my love can change them goes over the boundary of wanting somebody else to be different, and it's unrealistic. But it's the old statement, if you would only change, I would feel better.
See, this is the perfect breakup line, and I think I've shared this is, I'm sorry, I just can't be what you want me to be.
Well, there you go. That's exactly right. Yeah, we can't. And when we try to, because God only knows I have done my best to fit into the idea of who somebody wanted me to be and fit into that so much so that I lost myself and my identity and my values, and I didn't hold on to my values strong enough. I let somebody else's values, and maybe they were obsessed with being with pride and anger. Sometimes people place a value on pride and anger and make it much more important than love. So they stand on ceremony. The ego has to be right. They have to be right. They have to be right. What happens is it destroys the relationship by crossing boundaries that were none of your business to cross in the first place. Can't force, and I've learned this too, you can't force somebody to be the way you want them to be just because you want them to be that way. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. I've
No
tried. It
matter
didn't work.
whatever, ever,
No.
ever,
No, it doesn't. It
no.
doesn't. No. But that is what is makes us all individuals. And so having your boundaries of saying, no, this is, I have like a set of rules, it like, no, you can't make me do this. I won't do this because I know better. Like, or, there's just personal safety rules. There's rules that I have that keep me in track and online that, and there's also things like having a boundary of saying no. There is, it's the word no is beautiful. We've all heard this being said over and over again, but it's always worth repeating because no, I'm not baking another 20 dozen cookies for the cookie sale. I'm not doing it. And no, I'm not buying them either. Someone else has to do it this time. I'm out. Someone else pick up my slack. You're allowed to do that because if it's a team, the team is only as strong as the team is together. And if someone needs time out, there's time out in sports, right? I have no clue about sports, so I shouldn't even be using this analogy. I'm so
That's a
stupid to
good
do it,
one.
right?
Yeah.
But honestly, the time out thing I think is really important for us all to, that's part of the boundaries. When I was reading the article, first thing I thought is like, yeah, how far are you going to push yourself to
Right.
what end? And why, when you look at the greater universe of why you're here, I'm getting to this point. Maybe it's all these conversations with you that sometimes I just go, well, is this really important in the grand scheme of things?
That's a great question to ask. That's a great question
I
to ask
mean,
because, yeah, that's exactly right. Because in the end, I mean our last breath in this body, because that's definitely going to go. There's no question about that. But in the end of this body, how am I going to feel? How do I want to feel then? Whenever then is, could be the next moment, but whenever then is, how do I want to go out? How do I want to feel? So honoring my boundaries means that I'm honoring myself. I'm actually honoring the human being that I am with the soul design that I have, that only I have. and only you have your soul design, I have my soul design. And creating a boundary of that, I think, is creating something sacred. It's having reverence for yourself and your values and saying, okay, this is what I believe and my expectations are of myself, and this is how I want my relationships to be. Are you on board? And if you're not, okay, I love you. I mean, I've been with people who I men who have been my friends, who can be my friends for life. I have this term, friends for life, and it means you hold this space for each other to be human without judgment, trusting each other and trusting yourself to be able to be transparent and reveal yourself and feel safe to just reveal. We have this big thing about revealing, about saying things about ourselves to somebody else. Like it's like, oh my God, if they find out, you know, I can't tell you that. Why do you ask me that? I mean, it's like, what? What? Why not? Because we're human and I'm interested for no other
Yeah.
reason. You
It's
know?
weird. We're like the, there's boundaries and then there's this protection and then there's,
Yeah.
you know, and because you can always say, oh, you know, I don't feel like talking about that today. You
Yeah.
know, you can always have your time and place, but there's this, yeah, it's really interesting. We're weird, man. We're
Yeah.
so,
It's a
yeah,
dance. Yeah.
it
It's
is.
a dance between protecting ourselves and what are we protecting ourselves? We're actually not protecting ourselves. We're actually, well, I guess we are. We say
Oh, we're back
sometimes
to
we're
survival
protecting.
again
Yeah.
because Mama Bear, right?
Yeah.
So that is that huge part of us is being survival mode because we must always provide almost so that, you know, you've talked about that before on how we've evolved as the human race, but women sitting there as mama bears and look at, you know, there's that old saying is, you know, the father, you know, you ain't dating my daughter when she's 16 years old, you know, all of that stuff. It's kind of this, okay, can we just all get on with it? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a father, so I don't know, but can we all just kind of chill out a little bit and realize like the world's not going to come to the end? However, people are starving and dying and going through all kinds of really bad things. So, you know, there's time to be survival if you need to, but there's also just, do we have to be in that mode? Are we being the overbearing mother too, who's always, you know, wanting perfection out of their kids? I've seen that, especially mothers and daughters. Now, Nancy's not that, so that's cool. But I've watched that. And then there's also the overbearing mothers with their sons who give the you know, the new wife, the partner of the son, you know, another, it could be another son, right? Son-in-law, whatever.
Right.
Son, what do you call it?
A
What do you call
son-in-law. Somebody who's married to your daughter?
Yeah, well, whatever, or yeah, I mean, it could be two guys married, but what would you
Yeah,
call them?
son-in-law, both son and son-in-law.
Okay, from the mother's perspective,
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
So she's, you know, there's the overbearing to the point of you're not good enough for my son. And, you know, so we have that craziness where what is that in a mother that is, that's the side that we need to kind of chill out. Is that part of the boundaries and like the survival thing? What is that?
I think part of it is it's an unrealistic expectation.
Mother-in-laws at weddings. Holy cow. Good God. Run. Here comes the mother-in-laws, and there's two of them, and they'll often fight with each other. Run. So listen, when we're talking about mother yourself, this is not what we're talking about. Right. What is it? What is it? That part of it. So that's where we don't want to be that kind of mother, right?
No. And when we're secure in our own self, when we show ourself reverence, when we honor ourself, when we allow ourself to also be imperfect and not expect ourself as well as anybody else to be perfect, because nobody is perfect and we're imperfect. If we're perfect, we're imperfectly perfect. And that's the way we're made. We're made to learn, we're made to grow. You know, like a blade of grass, like the tulip in your background. I mean, we grow.
Yeah.
There's who said there aren't who said a tulip doesn't have a growing pains when it grows from a little, you know, bud, a little, what do you call that? What do you call that? They have the
Uh-oh.
oh,
Don't.
shoot. Anyway, I'm trying to come up with that
It's from the
anyway.
bed. The tulip is the
Bulb.
bulb. Oh, from the
Thank
bulb.
you.
We've got
From
to
the
watch how we
bulb.
say that. Yes, the
The
bulb.
bulb, you
It's
know.
bulbous.
Yeah, it's bulbous. And anyway, but when we allow ourselves to grow imperfectly, right? And when we're mothers, you know, we have an opportunity to teach our children in different given moments about different given life lessons. And so if we can treat ourselves as this young person growing and learning, and even though it's the same person, but there's, you know, we are all of ourselves at the same time. Every age that we've ever been is all in there. We were babies, so we're a baby. We were a child, we're a child. We have all of those elements with us. So we have different parts, the child, the adult, the preteen, the and
Oh man, yeah.
you know, we have them all. So if we can be gentle, loving, kind, sweet, look for the opportunities of teaching moments and just doing it in a kind way. I mean, what is the big deal for being kind?
That I know, you
What
know, and it,
is it?
just be kind. It is, you know, where we are right now, our friend has in her kitchen, she has some of the best signs. She says, one is, in all the things we can choose to be in this world, let's start with choosing to be kind. And
Exactly.
then she has one about thank God for putting his hand over my mouth when I wanted to say something. So when I wanted to speak my mind or whatever, she's got some really good ones in there because she makes me crack up, you know. It,
Yeah.
but this yeah, kindness goes a long way because it is about you know, understanding everybody comes from a different walk of life,
Yeah.
and none of us are perfect, like you're saying, and we get to learn, and those are our lessons.
That's why we're here.
And that's where humor comes in.
And enjoy ourselves along the way.
You brought in laughter, and this is where I think friends are so important, because
So
you
important.
could be going through something traumatic or something really crazy, and all of a sudden be giggling together and then pulling each other through. And that's the truth, right?
Yeah. Listen, I have a client who broke her ankle, I think it is, in several different places. So,
Oh.
and she just recently retired, God bless her, and she was ready to, you know, hit the road, do all kinds of things, and now she's not able to do
Oh.
that. So I call her gimpy. You know, I mean, we don't have to take it all so seriously, even though it could be serious in nature, even cancer. My friend Tony,
Yeah.
I was with when she passed away, and was with for the last 6 years of her life, pretty much helping her navigate through that experience. We laughed to the very end. She was in the hospital bed. I mean, and she had a big German not a German shepherd, she had a big husky. And husky's name was Miley. Did I ever tell you to go look Miley up?
No.
Oh, you
Oh,
need
I'm
to go
in.
look Miley up. Miley the dog. You'll
Okay.
get the whole story. It's quite a story. But anyway, Miley, when Tony was in the hospital bed, kind of towards the very last part of her life, last weeks or something like that, Miley would jump up on the bed, you know, on the hospital bed, and just lay by her legs.
Oh.
And sometimes she would jump on the bed and, like, you know, accidentally hit her, you know, land on her or whatever. And so Tony, almost in a stupor, lying here going like this, goes, "Yeah, bastard." I mean,
Oh, no, I love it. Oh, I love that.
it's just hysterical. So we laughed till the very end that she was able to laugh until she became unconscious. You know, even
Yeah.
when she was unconscious and we knew that, you know, we would talk to her and laugh.
Yeah.
Because why not laugh? We've been given
Well,
a gift.
because even I don't believe that you made, I don't, I believe that when you're unconscious, that you're still conscious, but it's in a different way than we understand now to this day. So I don't always go like, this is a certainty. Because look at our evolution as humans, right? Going from the survival brain to now we don't have to be survival brain as such, right? Yes, depending on the circumstance, if you need to, we can
Yeah.
call it up like that, because it's like our negative brain is the
Yeah.
easiest thing to call up, right?
Yeah.
So I think that talking to someone who may be in a coma and things like that, keep doing it because you don't know. You don't know. You
Well,
don't
you know when
really.
they wake up and
Yeah.
then they'll tell you, oh, I heard everything you said. I
Isn't
mean,
that
that's
freaky?
happened. Yeah, for sure.
It's cool. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, but I mean, it's be kind of interesting to be on the other side watching them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, look at them do this again. You know, they're thinking that's
Right.
funny. It's really not funny anymore. Try something new, you know?
Right,
But it's,
right.
well, no, actually, there's a great story of a man who almost lost his life on a motorcycle. It's a documentary. And I will, it, I'll have to find it, but he almost lost his life doing motocross. He was a motocross motorcycle guy, and he was on our podcast. He was an incredible racer, and he was in a coma, and they were about to say, "No, you're done." And his sister started painting his toenails different colors, you know, the humor thing, and it completely pissed him off because she used pink or something, and he twitched his toe. Like, stop it. And then that is what helped the doctors help him and understand a different way of actual community. And he ended up, he took himself, they told him he'd broken his whole back, everything. You'll never walk again. He walked. He was one of those mindset people, just even as a sports person. You know what he did? He walked across Death Valley.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
I
So
hope it
just
wasn't in the summer.
I think part of it was, but you know, this is the kind of, you know, that fire is amazing. So our survival mode can sometimes be a really good thing, but this is, you know, a little nurturing yourself, I think, is so important, but and taking time out sometimes to just do things that you can enjoy. And that's where you talked about a dog. I want to talk about horses. So let's get to this part. I want to hear about you gave yourself a gift, right? It sounds like.
Yes, it was talk about mothering oneself. It's very interesting. You could actually sense, I mean, from the studies that I've recently been exposed to, you know, the heart energy around a human is about 6 to 8 feet out from where
Wow.
we are. So our energy goes out about 6 to 8 feet. So when you walk into a
Wow.
room and somebody's in a bad mood, you can feel
That's
that.
what you.
But if somebody's energetically up, you can feel that too, and you can feel that across the room. Well, you can definitely feel that 6 to 8 feet around the person. A horse, their heart energy is 50 feet.
Wow.
So, in a corral, when you walk into a corral, they can sense if you're happy, if you're afraid, if whatever, if you're angry, and if you're angry and you're afraid, they won't come near you. It's
That's
like
true.
the dolphins. The
Yeah.
dolphins want you to say you be playful unto yourself if you're out in the wild with them, and then they will come to you. So it's all about mothering yourself, nurturing yourself, getting yourself into a happy place so that you don't stay in a bad mood because of somebody else. And then if somebody else doesn't change, you're still in a bad mood and then you're blaming them, but nobody else is in here
Oh
except
my God, it's like this whole circus going
yeah,
on. It's
exactly.
not, that's not a fun circus though.
So mothering oneself takes different forms, you know? It's being kind, it's being thoughtful, it's being courteous, it's being generous. I mean, it's being generous. So anyway, this horse experience, they have this thing called exchanging breath. Well, first of all, their ears do all this kind of business depending on where they're paying attention. And their ears can go different ways separately, like their eyeballs are on the sides of, so they can't see you this way. They can only see you. So if you come up to them from the side, they'll be more inclined to receive you. But if you come up from the front, it's more jarring because they can't see you. So they don't feel as safe. But they've got this thing called exchanging breath. They get their muzzle right in your face like this, and they start breathing. And then you're breathing with their breath. And all I know is I wanted a cigarette after that. It was the most intimate thing I have
It's
ever
gentle. It's
experienced.
very gentle. I mean, that's a way of a communication. That's how, like, even, you know, I did it with a donkey out in Arkansas. That
Right.
didn't sound good.
That didn't sound good either.
I
Oh boy.
Oh boy, his name was Luke, but we called him Cool Hand Luke, and now he has a sister or a
Oh
girlfriend.
God, even
But
Cool
he
Hand Luke.
really wanted you to hang out with him all the time, and I'd go out and talk to him, and I would breathe into his nose, and then he would breathe back. And when you got in sync with that breathing, then everybody was happy. And it's just, I did that with my horse Cinnabar was abused, and that was our way of communication. And one thing she would do is she was beaten up by a policeman with a polo. He was a polo player, and he, anyway, it's horrible stories. But first, Nancy worked with her, and I was still, young, but the one thing to calm her, like from rearing up and really getting spooked at things, like if a plastic bag flew by, she's freaked out, right? You grab her ears, not grab them, but you just take her two ears and touch them at the top together, and she would calm down to a still and calm. Because then she, because when you were talking about the ears, this and that, it kind of stops that
Antenna.
chaos. Yeah. And so that was a way that we used with her. And
That's nice.
horses are so attuned to touch sensitivity. And, you see people kick their horses and make it pull on the, that's not how you need, that is not it. No. So you went and had this breathing time with the horses. So,
I had never experienced anything like that in my life. And my other friend, the horse came and put her head right on her head.
oh yeah, they do that.
And then wrapped her whole neck around her neck. I mean, it was like hugging her. It was
And
the
then
most
when they just do
incredible.
the when they drop, they do the drop where they just, oh, I trust you now, and it's heavy.
It was an exquisite experience. I had never had that
So did
before.
you go to the horses just for this kind of ex what
Yes,
was
there's a ranch down in Ramon, which is in San Diego
Yeah,
area.
Ramona. Big horse town.
Ramona, yeah.
Yeah.
And we went on this beautiful ranch, and they've got these horses that are boarded there, and these two women that are called equine coaches, and they got certified in this whole way of coaching people. We did an extraordinary exercise, and we wrote. She gave us four questions or four things to ask the horse. So we wrote a letter to the horse using these questions. And what did you see in me or something like that? What was it that you liked that you saw in me? What did you like? Something like that. So you write, Dear Josie, that was one of the horses. Your confidence, the way you walked, and just the way you are, blah, blah, blah. And then what were the other questions? There were three more questions that were really poignant, right? And then we went around sharing what we wrote to the horse. And then she had us exchange the horse's name for our own name. So what did you see when you like, what did you like when you saw me? Something like that. And you read the same exact thing. And some people were crying, going, oh my God. I see confidence. I see this. One woman wrote, she wrote, I loved your rippling muscles. And she's like in her 70s, right? And we all were laughing,
That's hysterical.
especially when she read that to herself. And I said, well, rippling muscles go this way, they go that way. I mean,
I mean, and then there's
I'm going to
that's
laugh
not,
about that too.
hey, rippling muscles at that time could be the skin ripple,
Yeah,
it
exactly.
comes,
Exactly.
but that is, that's magical because it's calming, and what a nice way to connect with horses,
Yeah, it
you
was
know?
beautiful. It really was. It was on so many levels.
So do you
So,
think, and part of mothering is taking these kinds of experiences?
100%, 100%. Because there's a kid in us that wants adventure, that wants to experience life. I know I do. I want to experience different things in life. I want that sense of adventure. I think that was really drummed into me as a kid, being a tomboy. Going to the creeks and catching salamanders. Same with you growing up in the nature. It's different than growing up in the city and just wanting those kinds of adventures. And to me, the adventures are also going inside. That's why I like to take people. I tell them they're going on a journey with me. They're going on a journey. And it's an journey, and we're going to have a wonderful time, just like you go on vacation. You're going to have a wonderful time because we're going to learn things. And change things and explore things and, you know, be an alchemist and all these different ways of experiencing your life all the way to the very last breath.
I agree. It's, I think that's what it is. Like you go out in nature and even a city, you know, I just did an interview about a documentary about Corky Lee, who's an incredible Asian photographer in New York City, that he documented everything in, you know, in Chinatown. And then in all these, and anyway, this documentary is coming up on PBS. So everyone watch it. I'm not talking about this to promote it as much, but you should.
Of course, yeah.
But he was a person that just got up every day and went out to see what was going on. And he just lived that. And I mean, he photographed during the pandemic and everything. And unfortunately, that's what happened, was COVID took his life. But there was nothing that happened in the Asian community and the diverse Asian community. So we're talking, I mean, he was even photographing all the Sikhs and all these different, you know, cultures.
Yeah.
To document them, because they were left out in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And but it was every day what something's happening. So he could never really sit still. And if he sat still, he was going to be sitting with someone telling him a story from what he'd seen out in the street. So there wasn't a day that went by that Corky Lee wasn't out doing it. So I find that way in nature, but he was like that in cities.
Right.
And so it doesn't, you know, I'm just bringing that up in that.
Totally.
Find
agree.
That.
Yeah.
You know, that's your balance. And I think that's when we have that emotional balance, quite frankly, is when you're doing your passion.
Yes. And when you allow yourself to go inside, you know, sometimes we don't allow ourselves the time, or we think it's a waste of time, but it's really when we do really truly embrace that journey with open arms and go, oh, this is going to be so exciting. This is going to be so interesting, so fascinating. When my client, when I got her on Zoom and she says, I broke my ankle, I said, you what? And I said, oh, now that's fascinating. And she goes, well, what's fascinating about it first, you know? And then she learned that, you know what, when we don't judge an experience and make it bad necessarily, or make it wrong, probably more wrong, because then we feel bad, then we can just allow it. And then we start nurturing the courage and the strength and those other qualities that we have within us, and bring them out more instead of, you know, focusing on those other things.
Yeah, the other stuff, it really gets in the way. It's acknowledging something. Yes, you know, the elephant in the room should be dealt with. Don't ignore it, because then it just becomes a bigger, we shouldn't even do that to elephants. They don't want to be the, you know, why do we use animals for all this new stuff?
I don't know.
We shouldn't, but yeah, I mean, because I like a good ass. I just had to say that. And I was talking about donkeys, but anyway. But really, you know, but it's like acknowledging, and then we just start picking at it. And so, and then we work ourselves up. So are we hurting ourselves by doing that? Like,
of course
I can, like, I already feel blood pressure going up. As soon as I start to pick at something, I start to already become this person that I don't want to be.
Yeah.
You know, but
so
I'm good at it.
That's why we want to remember and remind ourselves that we can mother ourselves, that we don't need somebody outside of us to do that for us necessarily, if we don't have a mother anymore, or even
right,
to not have unrealistic expectations also. But when we allow ourselves and we take on that role of going, okay, you've got this, kid, you've got this, I've got you, we're going at it, this, oh,
look at
I don't
that.
have any idea how that happened. Did you see
I
my
don't know, but you have your own effects going all
I
the
don't
time.
know.
This
I
is
guess so.
fantastic. That was, do that again.
Unbelievable. I don't think I can. I don't know
For
when that
those who are just listening and not watching, she got fireworks on the screen
I did
somehow.
All of a sudden. It was
Woo! That was pretty
so
cool.
I want this Mother's Day to remind everybody to treat yourself, and I say this to myself too, with as much tenderness and compassion as you give to all those around you. And I just wish every mother a happy Mother's Day, and to all the beautiful souls who really do embody that essence of love, because that essence of love is the most yummy, delicious elixir we could possibly give to each other.
You know, I love it. And I have a song to dedicate for this.
Okay.
It's called Be Kind to Yourself. It's by our friend Borgo out of Denver. I'm going to
Oh.
send it to you. I'll put a link to it or wherever I can find it for you all to hear it,
Okay.
because it is exactly what you're saying. Be kind to
Great.
yourself, be true to yourself.
Yeah.
So
I love
awesome.
it. I love it. I look forward to hearing it.
It's awesome. Well,
Good.
Shelley, well done on this on the special effects and then the horsey thing. Now I need to go play with horses.
Yeah.
I love horses. I do. I
I
was one
bet.
of those kids with horse walls, you know, all
Yeah.
the
Oh,
calendars torn
yeah.
off and yeah, they're special. They're sentient beings. They
They
are.
are. They are.
Well, happy Mommy's Day to you. Be
Thank
kind to yourself.
you. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back next month. And next month it's June. We're going to, I don't know, talk about how to beat June gloom. None of us want June gloom.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's going to be almost summer. It's going to be fun.
I know.
Thanks, everyone. Don't forget ShellyWizen.com. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Soul Diving Sunday show featuring transformational life coach Shelly Wizen. Follow Shelly at ShellyWizen.com. Follow us at BigBlendRadio.com.